Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema on a Monday morning with you guys. And we've got some pretty cool ideas, Trevor. I'm excited about the next month because what we're going to do is we're going to go back. We're not ready for 2019 draft yet. And I don't think people are either. Like, are people really ready to jump into analyzing another draft class? It's May.
Like, I don't think we need to be here analyzing Nick Bosa's tweets, old tweets, but, you know.
He was not a fan of Black Panther, I heard.
Whew, bad take.
That's the only tweet I've seen.
Horrendous take.
That's my impression. Although, again, I still haven't seen it.
Great movie.
I feel like everybody loved it. I don't know. Anyway, Joey's better. That's basically the assumption. That's basically where the conclusion we have to draw already. But we thought what would be fun is going back to past draft classes and redrafting them. And so we're going to start with 2014. We may end up going back to 2013. We just thought it was such a horrible class, but we wanted to skip it. But then now I think maybe fun to look at 2013. So we'll see how this goes and see if people want us to look back, and eventually we may circle back to 2013 too. But one of the things we wanted to do was we wanted to go through and kind of redraft these classes. And it doesn't necessarily mean if we take another player, it doesn't necessarily mean that we feel like that team drafted poorly or, you know, but it could have been a better player on the board that could have made them an even better team down the road. So, you know, we're going to try and change things up because we want to make it fun and enjoyable. But we're also going to assess a grade for the pick that did happen. And so we'll start with 2014, and we'll kind of roll our way through these. We'll do 10 picks today. There's going to be no pod on Thursday or Friday, but we'll do 10 picks today and like 11 tomorrow and 11 Wednesday. And we'll kind of go through and look at, okay, where are each team at? Who did they take? Should they have taken that player? Should that player even have been in the first-round conversation? Looking at you, Greg Robinson. And we'll just kind of continue on from there and continue to build up these rosters. And at the end, when we've done we've redrafted 14, and next week we'll do 15, 16, 17, so on, we'll kind of compile who each of these teams selected in the first round and look at how things could have been different if there had been a redraft. Because everybody will be loaded, obviously, because there won't be any, you know, quote-unquote misses. Unless if we go back to 2013, there'll probably still be misses because there just wasn't enough good players. But in 2014 draft, you know, there won't be any misses in the first round now. So what if everybody had hit on their picks? What would their rosters kind of look like at the top, at least, yeah, based on their first round picks? So here we go, man. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it. You going to do the Texans first?
Houston Texans. Yeah, I'll kick things off with the Texans. So they took Jadeveon Clowney, okay? Good pick,
I
think. Yeah.
Not bad.
I think, I mean, if I'm giving this pick a grade, you know, if we're just going straight A, B, C, D, F scale, I think I'm giving this pick an A. Because, you know, you can't be too picky with this stuff when you're going back and analyzing teams. And it took Clowney a little while. You know, he hasn't been as good as Khalil Mack's been in his career, but he's really blossomed. And I thought last year was the first time he really started putting together, you know, things 1v1, and he's still young. And so, yes, it was a slow start. And if you asked me probably a year ago, I would have said B maybe, B plus if I could. But just using that straight A, B, C, D, F scale, I feel like I'm giving this pick an A because he's been productive. And last year he was productive and he wasn't necessarily even the guy. You know what I mean? So I'm going with Jadeveon Clowney being an A in here now. But that, you know, this draft had some A++ type of players. And if you look back at Houston in 2014, you know, the receiving core looked pretty good, but the quarterback position was really in question. And it is somewhat tempting to go Jimmy Garoppolo.
Hey, man, they had Case Keenum. So if we're really looking back, they're really looking back.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick, they had like both of the backups that every team in the NFL has wanted ever since this season.
Yep.
I mean, they had Aaron Foster in the backfield. Their tackle situation was great with Newton and Dwayne Brown. You're always looking at those important positions first. They had J.J. Watt and not really anything else on the D-line. And a linebacker, you know, Merciless obviously would play on the edge occasionally too. He was off ball at this point, or he was outside linebacker at this point. Remember, they played the 3-4. I would ordinarily say Aaron Donald goes here. And in today's NFL, he honestly probably could play anywhere, and it wouldn't be a big deal whatsoever. But for the sake of the fact that this scheme and what they kind of look for and what they kind of prefer in Houston, what Romeo Crennel likes, you know, I would stay away from Donald for this pick. I get the feeling he won't be on the board much longer, given the fact that the Rams pick second. But I don't know. This is tough for me because I'm tempted to go quarterback, but I would like to have seen a little bit more of Jimmy Garoppolo. So this is maybe one of those things we revisit in a year and say, what if the Texans had taken Jimmy Garoppolo? And they had Garoppolo, Arian Foster, Andre Johnson, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
With those tackles and Brown and Newton and what they were at that point. That's a pretty good group, man. And I think that this would have been a really threatening team. You know, who knows if Jimmy would have been that great right away. But
sure.
If he puts another good year like that, wouldn't you be tempted to say Jimmy Garoppolo should go number one overall?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to be tempted to say Jimmy G here in the top five a little bit. So, I mean, you know, that's... I'm certainly with you.
Because we're also, you know, we're going to positional value, you know, and it doesn't mean that Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Devontae Freeman at his position, but, you know, this is a redraft. This is what teams, you know, should have done, and a good quarterback is more important than a great running back to a team. So you have to look at things through that lens, too. I'm just not that bold to go Jimmy Garoppolo number one to the Houston Texans. Yeah. To me, it really comes down to... I know. I do admit that there is some cowardice in there.
But you are switching it up, right?
And I was a huge fan of Jimmy Garoppolo coming out. I mean, I was a huge fan of him. I loved his game. So,
coward.
I am switching it up, though. I'm going with Khalil Mack. You know, that 3-4, I just think he was the perfect kind of player to play off the edge. He and Merciless with Watt on the inside, I mean, terrifying. And Mack was better right away, so he would have had more of an immediate impact. And again, I don't think this means Clowney's a bad pick whatsoever. You know, I mean, I gave the pick an A. But to me, Mac would have been the best possible pick for that team. Arguably, Aaron Donald, you could say as well. You've got an easy one here.
much different landscape here for the, at the time, St. Louis Rams, who took Greg Robinson, who could be graded nothing but an F.
Correct.
It was
actual
just,
grade F.
Yeah, just did not work out. What did he get traded for?
Like a
just
sixth?
Not too long ago? Like,
yeah, it was bad.
Like nothing. Yeah. I think he went to Lions, I think. Just got traded for absolutely nothing. Never panned out for them, certainly in the way that they wanted to. But the Rams team 3-4 years ago, I guess it's 4 years ago now. Yeah, it's 2018. They had a lot of still their core guys on defense. So I'm looking this over. I mean, minus Aaron Donald, dude. It's going to be the guy that's going to go here. I'm tempted to, because his wide receiver class was so good, it's tempted to look at this terrible, awful St. Louis Rams wide receiver core and think that they could use one of the top wide receivers that were in the 2014 class, which there were quite a bit of them. I mean, this is a class that had Odell Beckham Jr.,
yeah,
Brandon Cooks, Mike Evans, Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins, like all these guys came from that class. And so looking at that wide receiver group, it's kind of tempting to look at a wide receiver, but they also have a second first-round pick, which is somewhere where that could be addressed a little bit later. But I do think the pick is Aaron Donald. So we switch it up. I think we give them Aaron Donald about 10 picks before, right? Yeah, I think he's 12th overall. Yeah, so 10 picks before where he actually went, but
to the same team.
Yeah,
to the same team.
More appropriately here, it's an obvious thing. Aaron Donald is such an all-world player. Like you said, there was an argument for putting him at number one overall. He's been so phenomenal throughout his career, truly one of the best in the game. He's been one of his best at his positions. It is still a position of need, obviously, because this is the year that they drafted him, just prioritized at a different level when you realize just how good this guy could be. I think you know, he has been everything that you've wanted him to be along the defensive line. The complement to the ends, good for moving along the offensive line and making things easier for the linebackers. I mean, heck, he made Alec Ogletree's life so much easier. He got a massive contract that he probably got overpaid for. So, you know, it's just he helps out the defense so much, and it's in a crucial position. I think it's kind of an obvious thing that this is where Aaron Donald's got to go. Even though we're gonna switch it up on this mock draft.
Right.
We do a little bit here, but same team, same player. It had to be.
It's what they would do. I mean, if you look back at the Rams, if you ask the Rams, what would you do at number two if somebody else went off the board, Mac or whatever the situation was, and I think they would say we'd take Aaron Donald at number two. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, if he were still on the board there, so yeah, I think that's probably the correct pick. You know, they did have some needs at other positions, but you know, after quarterback, and they, at this point they still had Bradford, still hoping and believing that he could, you know, that he could do something at that position. And I get that, you know, I mean, they invested obviously a first round pick in him. You want to hang on as long as you can. You know, this was a couple years into his career, and so I get their perspective, get where they're coming from for sure. But it is one of those situations where, you know, I feel like there was, it was kind of a no brainer at that point. And I think if people hadn't had the size, you know, the size concerns, you know, how people, everybody was just freaking out about the size concerns with Aaron Donald. But his tape didn't, you know, there were no concerns when you looked at his tape. So I just think that was a big difference there. And that's why he would go one or two in a redraft for sure. Jacksonville Jaguars, man. It's funny
how
to think
different
about this
is
now.
This Jags
yeah.
team?
Right?
Oh my goodness, man.
Terrible roster. Here's their offensive line. Luke Jokel at right tackle, Zane Beatles at right guard, Mike Brewster at center, Will Rackley at left guard, and Cameron Bradfield at left tackle. Oh boy. Oh my goodness. And the depth pieces were terrible too. It's not like they had some guy sitting in the wings waiting to take over and be a stud. You know, they've really turned it around here. The wide receiver group, Cecil Shorts, Ace Sanders, Denard Robinson, Mike Brown. Oh, this roster is terrible.
Ace Sanders Lewis. went to the high school in my hometown, actually. Nice. So shout out.
There you go. I mean, I don't think any of their receivers are in the league anymore. I'm pretty sure. And I think Mercedes Lewis, he just got cut, I think. I don't think anybody signed him. I don't know if any. I mean, this is a brutal group. Defense is not much better, to be honest. You know, they need pass rush help. Their ends were Tyson Alualu, if he even played on the end. And
my word, this team is
and Jason Babbitt. This is one of the worst rosters I ever seen, man. Like, this was the year they took Talvin Smith, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, obviously Bortles, who's who they took with this pick. Let's talk about that first, I guess. Blake Bortles.
Sure.
You know, I give it a C.
Yeah.
Because, yeah,
it can't be – whether you want to say, like, okay, well, he did fine this year. They obviously made a playoff run, all this kinds of stuff. You can't give it any higher of a C because it was the number three overall pick.
You definitely can't give it higher than a C. I would consider giving it lower than a C, but he – you know, his rookie was bad. Like, he was okay the next year.
I wouldn't give it lower than a C. I think a C is what Bortles has been.
Yes. He's been decidedly average – with some above-average moments and some real lows. I think, yeah, C is probably fair. If we were, you know, putting minuses on these, maybe C minus or something like that. But C is probably fair for Blake Bortles at this point. We'll see what happens this season. Man, they need almost every single position. So, you know, you could literally not go wrong here. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney would be perfect here. Devontae Freeman would be great here. OBJ would be huge here. Any of the offensive tackles in a really good class would be great here. But I just go to the most important position on the field, and it's quarterback. And I think in a redraft, if this team takes Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, we're looking at a lot different type of situation. You know what I mean? I mean, the Jaguars quarterback situation was about as bad as it gets. I mean, they had Chad Henne as a starter, Ricky Stanzi, Denard Robinson was their emergency third quarterback, and something named Matt Scott. I mean, this was it was horrible. They couldn't even go into the year.
Something named Matt Scott.
They couldn't go into the year like that. So there it is. Jimmy Garoppolo going off the board. And yes, I'm taking Garoppolo over Derek Carr because I have serious concerns about where Carr's career's headed after last season, unless he gets better coaching around him. And I'm not sure that that's going to be the case. No offense to Gruden, but I mean, offense, I guess.
Wow.
But I think that.
Wow, rude.
I think Garoppolo is going to. We're going to end up looking back and saying Garoppolo waited a long time to play and there's less of a sample size, but I'm going to take the chance and go with him over Carr because I do think that he's going to end up being better.
The Buffalo Bills, back in 2014 before this draft, I think it's kind of interesting. Another team where I look at it, they could use some elite wide receiver help.
Oh my, could they? This is where they traded up to take Sammy Watkins.
Correct. And so they actually took Sammy Watkins, who, I mean, Sammy's no longer on the team before, so how high of a grade could you really give Sammy Watkins? Like,
man, weird. He was productive.
Sammy Watkins is a guy, though, who I thought has played fine when he was healthy. Yeah. But
when he was healthy, man, he was, I mean, yards per catch, touchdowns, big plays, and an anemic offense. I can't give him lower than a B.
I was going to say, though, can I give him a B if he's not even on the team anymore?
I think they bailed on him. He could have been a good pick, and he was, you know, productive.
But they
pick,
still but they bailed
could,
on him.
Right. But again, he was going to be a free agent, and so I think it was one of those deals where he had been hurt too much for them to risk.
But you don't understand, like, if you're about to be a free agent, and the team bails on you instead of signing you.
How I think if he'd been healthy the whole time, if he'd been healthy and there were no, I mean, he had that reoccurring foot stuff that was just concerning for them, I think. I think if he'd been healthy the whole time, it would have been no-brainer to re-sign. But that's my opinion. I mean, I could see if people wanted to go lower, but I'm a Sammy Watkins believer.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, somewhere in between there. It's a C or a B. I'm not so sold on giving him a B grade, but they were in an interesting situation in 2014 because you look at their quarterback situation. It's E.J. Manuel, then Thad Lewis.
Oh, my.
Then Jeff Toole.
Oh, my. This is one year after the E.J. Manuel draft, right?
And that's the thing. This is one year after.
So
now,
they were believing.
They were totally believing in E.J. Manuel. He went on to have some not good years with Buffalo. And
that's a nice way to say it.
I'm looking at their defense. Yeah, they got Mario Williams. They have Kyle Williams. Marcel Darius, kind of in the younger stages of that. They have Jerry Hughes as well, Brandon Spikes, Kiko Alonso.
They had some talent back
then. Right. Like, I'm not really thinking in a redraft they're probably going to emphasize defense too much, even though a player like Clowney would still be on the board. If we're doing a total redraft, I would give them Derek Carr.
Yeah. I mean, it makes so some
I'm gonna
sense.
So I'm going to give him Derek Carr just because there is not a single quarterback on this roster who can start an NFL game and hopefully win games for you. And if you don't have that, then I mean, you don't really have a chance to win enough football games. And so that's why I think that even though I'm somewhat with you on the Derek Carr concern, maybe not as red alert as you might. It sounds like you might be. I definitely see.
I think Carr will always be a 13 to 18 type quarterback in the NFL. Right? And that's
like how many touchdowns he throws?
No. Like in terms of how good he is. Like he'll rank somewhere between 13 and 18 in the NFL amongst quarterbacks.
Okay, I think he could be better than that. Okay. So I guess I am higher than you on him.
I mean,
but
I would still take a quarterback in that range. I would take him pretty high, I guess. But.
Right. I think I've got to take Derek Carr here for the Buffalo Bills.
Okay. All right. So Jadeveon Clowney still on the board. Sammy Watkins still on the board. Obviously, guys that will probably go in this. Greg Robinson probably won't go, and obviously not going to go in a first round redraft. It's also funny to look back at the Robinson pick and say, okay, this tackle class had Jake Matthews, Taylor Lewan, Morgan Moses, who's one of the best right tackles in the league now. Charles Leno was a seventh-round pick, the Bears' left tackle, and he's been very good there. Not elite, but very good, which is more than a lot of teams can say for their left tackle. And Juwan James also went in the first round, and he's been a solid right tackle for the Dolphins. He's gotten better every single year, I think. So I'm a fan of James, although I know people really hated Miami taking him there. So it turns out, Greg Robinson's not even close to being a top five tackle in the class. If you would have said that, and this is one of those funny things to think about, right, dude? Like, if you would have said in 2014, Greg Robinson is not even close to being a top five offensive tackle in the 2014 NFL draft, you would have been 100% right and probably blocked on Twitter by everybody in your field.
Yep.
Draft is crazy. Yep. Like, we can definitely rip on people for their takes, but like, we have to look back and say, like, okay, like, things are crazy. Like, things do not unfold. It's like us with the Barkley take this year. People think we're high off our butts because we think Barkley wasn't the best running back in the class. Well, everybody said that about Reggie Bush,
too. Did you see Barkley's making $7.8 million this year and Geis is making $1.1
million? I did see that, yeah. He's got to be seven times better than him, right?
Imagine. Can you imagine?
I cannot, but I think Washington will be very happy with their situation. Okay, so I've got the Oakland Raiders drafting number five overall, and they actually took Khalil Mack. That's not really an option for them right now. This team, honestly, this is the first pick we've had where the guy's actually been off the board that we were going to take, that would have taken. So obviously this pick gets an A, right? A plus, plus, plus.
Yeah.
After Donald, he's probably – Donald, OBJ, and he are probably the best three players in this class, right? I mean, I don't think it's – there's really no question.
Right.
Clowney and a couple others probably filter in after that. But, this is one of those situations where they would be probably really frustrated with who's gone, who's off the board. And I think that if you look at the Raiders roster, there were definite needs here. I mean, there were definitely things that could be addressed. And obviously this was the draft that they took Derek Carr in. So Matt Schaub is the quarterback as of 2014. Terrell Pryor's here. Matt McGloin's here. Remember Trent Edwards? Oh my, Trent Edwards was here. That's a long time since I heard that name.
You going to give him Clowney? You got to give him Clowney, right?
This is a roster that Gruden would like to coach now, right? Darren McFadden's here. Maurice Jones-Drew's here.
Yeah.
Gruden wants to go back in time and coach these guys. They were pretty good on the offensive line. You know, I mean, the guard spots needed some upgrading and, you know, I think a couple other spots. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, this team needed pass rushers and, you know, Lamar Woodley.
I mean, if you gave Clowney an A picket one.
Yeah.
Then he's
definitely a good pick. Yeah, there's no question. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt he's a good pick. You know, it's just a matter of looking through their options. But I mean, I think for sure, you look at Jadeveon Clowney, and I think that you obviously prefer Mac, especially for this defense. But you know, it doesn't really matter. Mac plays with his hand down, standing up, and Clowney can do the same thing. I mean, I just think that he's going to be a beast no matter where you put him. And you know, yes, it took a little while, and you don't love that, but part of that was injuries too, and it's hard to really predict those. We're still going back in a pre-draft type of focus, and hard to really predict those. And now that he's been healthy, I think you've really seen everything kind of materialize and stabilize for him. And so, yeah, Clowney to the Raiders, number 5 overall, but they still get the A pick, obviously, for Khalil Mack, one of the better picks in that draft. Atlanta at number 6.
Yeah.
Falcons actually took Jake Matthews.
Yeah, who, I mean, so if you look at this depth chart roster, you have studied offensive line and certainly the production of guys a lot longer than I have. And when I look at this Atlanta roster, you know, it's Julio, Roddy White still there, the wide receiver spots. Obviously, Matt Ryan is there. They still have Steven Jackson, Jacquizz Rodgers, but it's not like I'm going to take a running back this high. Their defense is certainly aging on the roster that they currently have, so they can afford to go defense, but I think that Jake Matthews has been a good pick for them. Do you think he's still the pick here? I think you would know better than me here.
Yeah, you know, I consider Matthews somewhere probably in the 8 to 13 range of starting left tackles. Maybe the 10 to 15. You know, he's very good. He's very solid. You know, you think about the best tackles in the game. Tyron Smith, Trent Williams, you know, Jason Peters when he's healthy, Bakhtiari, I'm probably forgetting someone, but you know, those type of guys, he's not in that level, that league with those guys, the elites of the elites. But he's very good. He's very solid. I think that he's in the perfect scheme for him too. I do. I think I would give this pick, you know, probably. It's hard. You know, you don't want to be picky. I think this is still probably an A pick. I mean, if you look through the draft class, is he not the best left tackle in the class? I mean, he or Taylor Lewan.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at this Atlanta roster, and I'm like, it's fun to switch things up. I like switching it up, but Jake Massey has been good for him, you know? So
he has been for sure. And, you know, you look at the other guys that you consider here. Obviously, they ended up taking Devontae Freeman. He's head and shoulders above every other running back in this class. But it's a running back this high with other needs. I don't know. You know, I don't know that you go there. And then you look offensive line, basically. I mean, right? I mean, either interior, you know, Zach Martin's still on the board, best guard probably in the NFL. They definitely needed help there. But tackles, you could argue, is definitely a more important position. So, you know, going with a very good player at tackle over an elite player at guard could still be beneficial to your roster ultimately. Yeah, I mean, this was not, and we talked about this before going on the air a little bit, this was not really a great defensive class. You know, this was, and that's been the anomaly. I mean, the last couple classes have been really good defensively and not as good offensively. So this was kind of a different class in that regard. But, yeah, I mean, I think if you look at this situation, it still makes a lot of sense to go Matthews. It really does.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's where I'm going. I think it's where I'm going there.
I honestly thought you were going to try and put OBJ with Julio Jones, though.
I mean, if we're playing Madden, I would have selected Odell Beckham Jr. But, immediately.
Yeah, a team-building thing, it would not have been smart to take wide receivers. What was it, back to, I don't know, that was a couple years before, after Julio. But I mean, not that they would regret taking OBJ, obviously. There's more than one right answer here, kids. That's probably the way to look at it.
Do you want me to double up and do Tampa Bay? Or
sure, I know you're going to give him.
Who am I going to give him?
Not Mike Evans. Not that he's been good. He's been great.
I love Mike Evans. So,
but the best wide receiver in the league, according to you, is on the board.
Tampa roster, bad, I think, is a good word.
At this point. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, certainly bad. I mean, I look at this defense, and it's...
terrible?
Oh, my Lord in heaven. Daquan Bowers, Gerald McCoy.
Oh, my.
Akeem Spence, Michael Johnson, Marvin Booker, who I don't even know who that is, folks.
Yeah, I don't either.
Mason Foster, Lavonte David, Altron Werner, Mark Barron starting at safety, Deshaun Goldston starting at safety,
in the league.
And Jonathan Banks.
Hmm. Not good.
That's awful.
Yeah, and the depth is bad, too. Yikes.
That's awful. Like, I'm looking at the available players. I could legit give them, DeMarcus Lawrence. I could give them Jason Verrett. I don't think any of those picks would be bad picks. I didn't even look on the offensive line right now. Oh, boy.
Oh, there's a lot. This was a great interior offensive line class, so it is going to be very tempting for us to go heavy interior offensive line at least through the last 20 picks in the first round.
Could have gone Zach Martin, no question, but is a Tampa Bay team. Like, honestly, I think they hit a home run from Mike Evans. Mike Evans is clearly an A pick.
Obviously
for them.
An A, yeah.
But, I mean, I'm going to give him OBJ just because I think OBJ is the better – quote unquote better. Yeah, I would have OBJ higher, but both of them just affect the game so well. Yeah. I will give them the offensive weapon that they need. I would give the Buccaneers Odell Beckham Jr., but holy crap, this Tampa Bay team was so terrible.
So bad, dude.
That roster is awful, John.
These were terrible top 10 teams, I feel like. Like, if you look at some of these rosters for these teams.
Yeah, for real.
Like, they're awful, and maybe we're not remembering that some players were better, but I don't know. We followed the NFL pretty closely for years, and we did this draft. Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we'd remember. But, okay, so the Browns are up at number 8 overall. They picked Justin Gilbert.
He's obviously not in the league anymore.
So, obviously, an A-plus for that pick. You know, Gilbert's one of those situations that was hard. I kind of like Gilbert coming out.
I liked Gilbert too.
I didn't know anything about like the fact that he didn't care about.
I did not like him as much as I think I had Gilbert ranked.
You had Verrett first. I remember you telling me.
Oh, 100%. I had Gilbert ranked either third or fourth as corners. Like
this
I love Bradley
corner class, right? Let's just talk about this for a second. Fuller. I had Kyle Fuller first in my cornerback rankings. Verrett second, and then Gilbert third, I think.
I was Verrett, Fuller, and then I might have been Roby at 3.
This was a funny cornerback class to think back on because, okay, so Gilbert got praised, obviously, for being this freak athlete with great size and everything, but he was actually horrible. Bradley Roby got torn apart because, remember, he gave up like 250 yards to Jared Aberderis when they played. He was a Wisconsin receiver who played for the Packers.
Yes.
So he got like torn up because that one game, you know, everybody kind of focused on, and I didn't know anything at this point. This is my first draft. I'd barely even had taped players. I'd watch like one game. I'd be like, oh my gosh, he's so good. But Kyle Fuller was my CB1. I changed it. I can think of right before the draft. I was like this, you know, I got more tape of him and watched more of him. And I was like, this guy's good. Then he ended up looking horrible. After he was okay as a rookie. And then he looked horrible. Now he's great. And the Bears just tendered him and matched the Packers when the Packers tried to take him away. So it looked like I was going to be totally wrong. And then Fuller ended up being really good. Verrett's been hurt constantly. Darquez Denard didn't barely even played for 3 years in Cincinnati. He played last year, was really good. And Roby, the one guy who was shredded probably the most, has been good the whole time in Denver. Weird class. Whole 14 class is weird, but that was the cornerback spot I shook out was really weird. But anyway, you look at the Browns. I mean, I don't know if this is going to shock you or not, but guess what? They were pretty bad. Are you stunned?
No, actually.
You could go so many different directions here. Obviously, quarterback, that's going to always be the conversation. But you look at who's available. Quarterback, Bortles, and then Bridgewater's just got the big, fat, red medical label on him because of everything that happened. So, you know, going to make that really difficult.
Please don't talk about my son like that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, actually, a lot of your sons are hurt in this. Dom Easley, too, is another one that we could have. Florida great. But I think
Please don't bring up my son, Dom Easley.
Okay, I won't bring up any of your kids from now on. the Browns, if you look at their roster, you know, this was Mitchell Schwartz was still here. Remember, this is before they made the great mistake to let him go. You know, this offensive line was really pretty good at the tackle spots, and obviously with Alex Mack at center. Then they let Mack and Schwartz go, and now they're both, I mean, they both were still among the best of their positions when they let him go, and they let those guys walk, which was just such a mind-bogglingly egregious mistake. It's hard to even know where to begin with something that awful. But to me, if you look at the Browns and what they needed, I just think that you had to get safe picks. You know, you had to get guys that were going to help you turn it around. And to me, that starts in the trenches. I could definitely see going to Marcus Lawrence here, but I just want, he's been hurt so much in his career. I want to see that he can stay healthy for a long period of time. Again, he's kind of in the Jimmy Garoppolo conversation. If we revisit this, you know, honestly, this past season, I thought he was better than any season Jadeveon Clowney's had. And I know that's going to sound like a really hot take to people, but, and I think Clowney's great, but Lawrence was so freaking good last year. And like, I was watching All or Nothing, the Cowboys All or Nothing. And they were even talking about, they were like, this guy's in such a zone. Like, you know, he's just, he had that look. Can he continue that consistently? That's my big question with him. So not quite ready to go there yet. But for the Browns, I'm giving him Zach Martin. I think he's the best interior offensive lineman in the league. I think that you put Zach Martin with Joe Thomas and with Mitchell Schwartz and with Alex Mack, and you don't make the mistake of letting those other guys go, man, you've got easily the best line. And they might not be
picking in the top five.
I mean, they might not be. It's, that would be the best offensive line in the league. No question. Big might. I'm telling you. Well, quarterback, obviously, they need to address. But how about the Minnesota Vikings? Am I going back-to-back here then, since you took two in a row? Or no? Okay. No, fine. Fine.
I was looking at him. So, like, but I mean, we can both talk about it, obviously. They went Anthony Barr. I think Anthony Barr has been really good for them.
I give that a B, right?
Okay.
Yeah. He's been good. He's been good for sure. Last year was a down year, or 2 years ago was a down year. This past year was a better year.
So if you look at their defensive line at this point, Brian Robinson, Joseph Linval, Sharif Floyd, Everson Griffin, and then their linebackers, obviously, where they addressed having Barr as kind of a hybrid to help out both those things. Chad Greenway, Gerald Hodges, Michael Malachi.
Rough group.
And then the secondary is not good. Josh Robinson, Sean Prater, Harrison Smith, who I think was, did they draft Harrison Smith like the year before? He's got to be really young.
Two years before, yeah.
Okay. And Jamarcus Sanford.
That's a bad secondary. Well, Rhodes is there. Rhodes is waiting in the wings there.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He was on this team, yeah.
Okay, good. So they're fine there. I wasn't going to give him a corner. I was thinking about it, but I didn't.
Their defensive line is pretty good.
Then I look at their wide receiver group.
Oh, my.
And we've got Green Bay Packer great Greg Jennings.
Put the team on his back.
And then Cordarrelle Patterson.
But Adam Thielen was on this roster. Let's he just point that out. He was on the
roster. I know.
They didn't know he'd be good for like three more years. But
they have Christian Ponder at quarterback, but
oh my!
The only guy I would have given them here would have been Bridgewater, right? I mean, who are the other quarterbacks in this class? Yeah. I'm not going to give them Bortles.
Right. That's. I mean, AJ McCarron, Johnny Manziel, but obviously we're not.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, like, if we're taking, like, injury and just saying, like, a big what if, I'd have given them Bridgewater, but
the quarterback class is very much dried up right now. Let's put it that way.
I'm going to give them Mike Evans.
They really need it. They even tried to find that type of receiver in Laquon Treadwell, you know.
Yeah. So, I think Mike Evans would be a home run pick for them here. Even though I'm fine with the Anthony Barr pick. I thought that ended up being totally fine for Minnesota. I think he's been good. I think Mike Evans would have been a home run for him.
Yeah, I mean, offensive tackle was a big need for sure, you know, so there is some good talent.
They would still have to get their quarterback at some point, but you would have Evans already. That worked out well for the Buccaneers.
We can only kind of work with what we got here. We know the quarterback's the biggest need for a lot of these teams, but we're not going to give him a bad quarterback, knowing that he's not that good, and then be like, okay, you know, we solved their quarterback issue. The Detroit Lions, Riley Reiff's here at tackle. I think offensive line was a huge need for them at this point. Obviously, they addressed that down the road after this draft with Taylor Decker and a ton of other picks. This was kind of when they started really going heavily into offensive line. Running back's always been a need here. I think that almost goes without saying at this point. Pass rusher's been a need here. You know, Ziggy Ansah was starting to come on. Sue and Fairley were still here at this point. But I think that finding another guy opposite them was a big need too. So, I mean, if you go through the positions of importance, they were good at interior defensive line. They were good at quarterback. They were good at one tackle spot with Riley Reiff, but wherever he played, they were weak at the other one. So tackle, I think this really comes down to if you go in that way and go through the important positions in need, because there are good players still available on the board. I think tackle and edge pass rusher were the big needs for this team. But they had a great edge pass rusher, and they didn't have a great tackle, or a guy that they considered great at the time, Onsa, who has been productive there. But I think, yeah, there's a lot to read between the lines there. I think this pick, in terms of who they actually took, Eric Ebron, you know, he's not with the team anymore. He honestly did have some productive years, but I wouldn't give it an F, but I give it a D, right? I mean, there were so many better players in this class. It was a tight end.
Yeah,
the top
you
10.
Have to.
That guy's got to be a star, and he was definitely not that. I mean, so, you know, you take a tight end that high, it's just, yeah, I think he could be end up being like an average player at his position, but in terms of the pick, when you look at the full context of things, yeah, it's a D to me. I just, you got to do more with that pick. That was an important pick for their franchise. I'm giving him Taylor Lewan. I think finding a franchise.
I knew you were going to do that.
They did it later with Decker, but you know, that's the direction they got to go. They got to get that offensive line better at this point. He would have helped them a lot, allowed them to free them up to kind of address other positions. And at this point, Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate still here. So, I mean, you're good at receiver. Like I said, they have Onsa. I think another pass rusher is important. You know, maybe I'm being a little bit too hesitant on Lawrence, who I actually love. But, you know, I'm just in terms of a redraft, you know, does he go super high based off one good season? I mean, everybody would have called him a bust before this year. So it's just,
right,
how highly do you put him, I think, at this point. So, yeah, that's kind of where I see the – so there's our top 10. We have Khalil Mack going number one to the Houston Texans, Aaron Donald going to the Rams at number two. The Jaguars take Jimmy Garoppolo. The Bills take Derek Carr. The Raiders took Jadeveon Clowney. The Falcons took Jake Matthews still, the only pick that stayed the same, although Donald still went to the same team. The Bucs took OBJ. That was – oh, you had the opportunity to do that. No wonder you were selling Jake Matthews to Atlanta so hard.
Yeah,
you didn't want to face them twice. Yeah, good point.
No chance I was letting OBJ not be a. Why do you think I was like, hey man, you want me to just pick for the Bucks afterwards too?
You want me to go back?
I'm hammering the OBJ button with a sledgehammer.
You have a button on your computer for just for OBJ?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's right next to P. It's right next to like the P button, but like to the right of it, it just says OBJ on it.
Oh wow. I didn't
realize. So, like, anytime I'm in fantasy football and he's on the board, I can just press the OBJ button and he's immediately on the team, and we signed him into extension already.
We need to talk keyboards at some point. Cleveland Browns taking Zach Martin. Whew, that offensive line, my goodness, it would have been so good. Vikings going with Mike Evans. Lions going with Taylor Lewan. Titans are on the clock when we come back on tomorrow. We've got some needs to talk about for those middle teams. And all the linebackers in this class, and a pretty good linebacker class, are still on the board. So eventually that position is going to get hit as well. And interior offensive line, expect tomorrow to be heavy linebacker and interior line, if I had to guess.
Yeah, until good then, players.
Yeah,
good
a lot
players.
Of good players left on the board. Until then, guys, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.